right. Let me just confirm. Jed, is that you back with us?
I am here.
Beautiful. Jed, to the beginning of our 10th year of the Media Kids Power Hour, we sounded it with a big train whistle to get going. It has been a fabulous journey and a joy working with you and your team. And thank you for both the trust and the confidence in the support for what we do educationally here, and always with the purpose of helping leaders win. What kind of leaders? Those selling ad space. What kind of ad space? Print, digital, newsletter, website, across what kind of space? Newspapers, magazines, shoppers, publications, those with editorial, those without editorial, those that are for sale on newsstands, those that are free, those have controlled circ. Those are the people who have joined our program over the last 10 years, always with the focus to have the tools, the strategies, the guidance that will help them win. And I just wanted to say up front, thank you again, Jed. It's been a fabulous journey.
Yeah, and the same to you, Ernest. You know, you do a great job. We really value our partnership in doing these teleseminars, and I always learn a lot. And you really, we're very often, here at MediaBiz, we're very, very focused on sort of, the driving ad sales to print publications, but we do it in a using online formats. We use it sort of using a website where we communicate with a lot of advertisers at one time and communicate with a lot of publications, and we oftentimes are not as involved in sort of the day-to-day sort of ad sales the way you are, and so it's always educational for us to listen to your insights into how publications can sell more and be more successful.
Well, thank you, Jed. And as you know, I'm coming up on almost 30 years being in the ad sales space. So I remember when it was just, put an ad in the yellow pages. Lordy knows you better not miss that every year. And about the only choice was the newspaper. And the newspaper salespeople sat in their office and waited for the phone to ring. I have that placeholder in mind, and I always remember that and have a reverence and respect for where we've been, because today's world, as you know and we know, is far and vastly more complex and more challenging. So as an ad sales professional and working with ad sales teams in 11 time zones around the world, guess what? We are working harder, but if we work smarter, which is the focus today, we're going to be talking about working with our challenging prospects and working smarter, then we can positively absolutely win. So big picture for all of you, Jed and their team, please take an opportunity to go look at their site, MediaBiz.com. They understand how to help you drive revenue. Jed is wonderful to work with, and their team are highly knowledgeable. Jed and I are taking a couple of extra moments to celebrate today that this is the beginning of our 10th year. It's really been a lot of fun. Our team on this side, we're Power Hour. You can come into our site, powerhour.com. Launched our company. This is our 20th year, almost 30 years in the ad sales space. I have owned my own publications, bought and sold them, coach and guide leaders around the world. We run some of the 20 largest LinkedIn groups in the world. We put on educational programs. You know, we're just engaged in our space, and we know what we're doing. In addition, every Tuesday, we have a wonderful academy for ad sales leaders. You get a learning message every Monday, about 12, 13 minutes. You come every Tuesday, and by email mostly and by voice, come in and pose your questions, and I'm there live. And the things that we're talking about today will be actually fielding your specific questions, and it is incredibly affordable and easy to come join us every Tuesday during our academy. So, Jed, in more of an informal way, as we've gotten rolling here, let's dive right in. And we're going to be talking today about selling to our most challenging prospects, and the key word is smartly. And there's three key points that we promise to cover. One, the pre-meeting prep. Two, how to get the attention of the toughest ad prospects. And three, the strategies to be Switzerland and how that conveys thought leadership. And then we've got all the questions that have come in. So between these, we'll weave in the questions plus field other real-time questions that come in along the way. As always, though, please make notes and take notes during the course of this. It's not an accident. We don't put a PowerPoint in front of you. We don't want you multitasking or many-tasking. We want you listening and engaging. The more notes you take, the more success you will have, because we're infusing the knowledge, and you're going to be able to take the knowledge from today and deploy it within minutes of the conclusion of our educational program. That's how Jed and I craft this. So point number one, the meeting pre-prep, what is your plan, okay? So there's some work to be done here, okay? And I'm going to talk about some of the core things that have to be done and some of the things that you positively want to do that will take you eons out in front of competitors, okay? The most important piece, Jed, I was working with an ad sales team in Europe earlier this week, and we were talking about the prep, and the CEO of the company said, I think what Ernest is saying is, slow down. It's the quality of the prep equals the quality of the presentation. I was like, man, that's a bumper sticker. You know, I get that. I love the way he articulated that, okay? So let's talk about the pre-prep and what is your plan. Certainly, let's begin with past records, past history. Do your homework internally. Know what advertisers have done. This feels very basic. Most cases I say it and everyone goes, yep, got that, check the box, but are we actually doing it? Be honest with yourself, right? Are you? Great. High five. Always know what's been happening internally in the past history. Go back into the records. Number two, go check to be certain that they were paying on time. Jed, I don't know about you, but I kind of like to get paid, so I get paid by commissions when I'm in ad sales, right? So I want to know that, you know, Acme product was paying. Otherwise, why am I futzing with that advertiser? And I know you appreciate that, right?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a big part of it.
Absolutely. Here's the next point, though. This is now they get a little more subtle and then also a little more progressive, thinking about additional parts of the strategy. The next piece is take a look at the ad quality. This might have been an advertiser that had a goofy ad agency, a goofy message, had long copy rather than short, which does or doesn't work in your medium, has short copy rather than long, doesn't have a call to action, doesn't have quality photos. We could go on and on and on of all the key pieces that go on to make a great ad, okay? But in the end, you know, make certain that you knew, you know, there's nothing worse than having to go box with both hands tied behind your back. Nothing worse than having an ad coming in that doesn't fit your profile. And therefore, you could never drive the results, and then you got fired on the back end. For example, in the apartment rental sector, a space that I started in 30 years ago, you know, apartment communities that did not put the rental rate of a one-bedroom or two-bedroom were perceived as too expensive and got passed over. So we knew if there were 400 apartments for rent in a magazine, all nicely organized, and there were 10 with no rates, that those 10 got minimal to no results because we made it too easy to shop and compare, okay? Imagine it'd be the same thing, Jed, if you opened up a Yellow Pages and there were 400 businesses or 400 plumbers, but 10 chose to not give you the phone number. In order to learn about their plumbing service, you had to go to their door, go to their store. You'd be like, are you kidding me? Either you put your phone number in or I'm not going to contact you, you know, using the quick, you know, analogy of Yellow Pages. So that's another piece. Number four, go back and look in the rep notes, a really big deal. What's in the CRM? What have reps put in the electronic or manual folders? Go back and see if there's any insight that you can see from there. So let's agree that, frankly, if we were talking today, 10 years ago or 30 years ago, these four points remain. Let's ramp into where we are today, and let's kick this thing up another notch. LinkedIn. I have not had a conversation in more than a decade with an advertising sales professional, leader, CEO in the advertising space without going to your LinkedIn profile. Period. End of story. I'll say with you, to all of you, make certain your LinkedIn profile is top shelf, okay? We've done individual calls and programs here about LinkedIn. It must be top shelf, though. It's long, long beyond the I don't know what goes where. A quality photo, your summary section, the groups you join, the way you set up your profile, all of those things. We do expert LinkedIn training. If you don't know what is top shelf, ask. We have programs related to that. Bottom line is, go the other side. When you're speaking to an ad agency, a decision maker, a buyer, go in and look at their LinkedIn profile because they are looking at yours, right? But let's focus on them. How long have they been there? How long have they been a buyer? How many people are on their team, which you should easily be able to know how to find and be able to see if there's multiple buyers? Are they a big company, medium or small? Do they have connections with an ad agency? That tells you another level. How about the groups that they've joined? And that gives you a sense of what their mindset is. How about prior jobs? How about hobbies? I mean, my gosh, we've talked about the McKay 66. And the McKay 66 are the 66 things that you must know about every single client or prospective client. LinkedIn can cover more than a third of those questions right there in front of you. I mean, I loved, Jed, to think back, pre-LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn launched about 11 years ago. Pre-LinkedIn, you wouldn't call a decision maker or an ad buyer and say, hey, before I get there, could you do me a favor? Could you send me your resume, your bio, your background, and your hobbies before I meet with you, right?
Right.
A buyer would say, hey, Jed, you're drinking too much green tea today, you know.
Right.
But in light of LinkedIn, it's all there at our fingertips, okay? How long does it take to go in and out of LinkedIn? 10 minutes, okay? But you have to do it with purpose and with focus, and that's the key piece. Know why you're there. Let's skip over now to Facebook. Some companies that are on the B2C side do a lot on Facebook. So as part of your homework, how many posts? How recent the posts? What kind of post? What kind of press? What kind of news? How many likes? What's going on there? Now, there's a whole nother conversation about tying into ad results, SEO, search visibility. That's for another day. But for right now, know that you've got to start with what they're doing on Facebook in general. Skip over to Twitter. Same thing. How many followers? How many tweets? What kind of content? Be knowledgeable. Be engaged. There's nothing more fun than to be outselling ads, and the buyer says, oh, we've got that social media dialed in. In fact, I don't even think I need an ad because, quite honestly, our social media is so great, our team is so great, and you pause and go, really? Any idea how many followers you have on Twitter? Any idea the last time a tweet was made? How about on Facebook? Any idea what your SEO rankings are compared to your competitors? The person sort of babbles and goes, I don't know, or I'm not aware, or I thought it was golden. Well, I've done my homework. Let me share with you, with your permission, my three favorite words, let me share with you what we have actually seen related to your social media or your business media or your digital networking, which is what I prefer. Social media for me is I'm on Facebook, and I'm connected to my nieces and nephews. That's it. If you're connected to me on Facebook, I know your birthday, your cell phone, and your mother's name. And if I don't, we're not connected on Facebook. That is what social is. Now, do I have a company page for Power Hour? Sure I do. Okay? But that's not where we make our money. All right? We're business to business working with ad sales leaders. We sit in the space of LinkedIn. Doesn't mean we ignore Facebook. Doesn't mean we don't work across Twitter. Doesn't mean we don't dive into social media SEO and search engine optimization. We understand those pieces. The last part, okay, and this is a sleeper, but this is an important one, and this comes from the SEO side of the work that we do with our clients. Go into the domain of the company you're meeting with, acmepackaging.com. Take that domain. Go into Google. Open up a blank page. Put in site, S-I-T-E, colon, the domain. No www, no HTTP. Put in the domain.com. So it's site, colon, acmeproducts.com. It's going to show you every indexed page for Acme products that you're going to be seeing this afternoon. It's part of your research. How many pages are there? How big is their footprint? What does it tell you about their search engine optimization? What does it tell you about, in a very organized way, literally organizing A to Z, all the pages? How big a footprint do they actually have, and what are they showcasing? What is it that they are doing? You would be amazed at the things you see and find when you do site colon. Also, by the way, ad agencies, it's a great way to organize to see all that they're doing. The most difficult way to see what's happening with a company is to use their own navigation. When you use site colon, it strips everything out, and you can see very transparently what you need to best serve you. So, pre-meeting prep. Jed, any comments or observations on those 8 points before I weave in some of the questions that came related to this?
The only thing that I would add is just, you know, the any sort of data that you have on like companies. You know, if you've advertised, you know, if you've worked with companies in similar industries, I mean, one of the most compelling things that I find, one of the most compelling sort of selling points I find is just being able to share sort of what similar companies, either in the same industry or in sort of a parallel industry, have done as a result of advertising with your publication.
Mm-hmm. You betcha. And I must say, you must be a mind reader, because we will be talking about that in point number two. So
just so all of you know,
Johnny Carson, the amazing Prescott. I'm thinking of a number, Jed, between 1 and 10. What is it? What's the number? Come on, Jed.
the problem is, Ernest, I only have a couple things to say. And so, you know, I have to, if you ask me enough questions, I'll just keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Let me tell you, for 10 years you've been telling me that, baby, you got a lot to say, okay? Starting with next month. It's a great point, and we'll come back to it in just a minute. Point number, there are a couple of points here, so let me weave in. Chris, and Jed, this is for you, it's a softball. Chris asks, why are buyers resistant to print? Chris, just so you know, Jed didn't sleep last night after he saw that bullet point. So, Jed, please, give us the laser what buyers pay you for a print lead versus a digital lead, because I'm crying on this point, okay?
Well, in sort of rough numbers, it's about 10 times, right? And so what, you know, the value of a print lead is typically worth about 10 times that of an online lead. Some of it depends on the industry. Sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes it's less than that, depending on kind of the product or service that you're talking about. But on average, print is worth about 10 times that of online. And what that means is that the customers that are being generated as a result of responding to a print ad are essentially 10 times more likely to become valuable customers for that company. They're more likely to buy. They're more likely to buy during the first phone call. They're more likely to stick around and be satisfied customers because they understand a little bit more about the product itself. They've actually read an ad as opposed to clicked on something which they may not have fully understood. They're more likely to remain customers, right? So after the initial purchase or after the initial inquiry, they're more likely to continue buying. So the lifetime value of that customer when it comes from print is higher than almost any other medium or any other medium that we've ever heard of. This is not an exact science in that, you know, if you are selling video game consoles, I don't think the same would be true. You know, this is specifically for, you know, advertisers that resonate with the demographics that read print, you know, which tend to be older people who, you know, own homes and are interested in what's going on in their community. The reason, you know, to get to sort of what you asked, I mean, the reason I think why it's very often difficult to get this information in front of media buyers and why media buyers are sort of resistant to it is that there's really, print has never been good at tracking or giving information back to advertisers on the results that they generate. You know, the typical way that print has always done it, and as far as I know, other than a few companies and ourselves, the way that it's mostly done is that people ask the advertisers how they did. So, you know, if a carpet store places an ad in a publication, you know, the rep for the publication goes in and says, you know, hey, how'd you do? You know, and the carpet store sort of invariably either doesn't know or is likely to say, you know what, it didn't do that well. Because there's really no incentive for them to say, wow, you know, it just did phenomenally well. Whatever you charged me was too low because I'm in. You know, there's there's no sort of foolproof, easy way to sort of say, look, here are the metrics, here's exactly how it did, you know, here's what you made. And that's one thing that the internet does incredibly well, right? It gives this prepackaged, easy to understand, you know, sort of dashboards of exactly how an ad does, exactly what you know your return on investment is, or at least what you spent on a click, or view or whatever. And it's you know, and as a result, it becomes the super easiest thing for media buyers to sort of wrap their heads around, because they can't get in trouble, right? They can say, look, you know, we decided that a click was worth, you know, $4, and, you know, we have $4,000 to spend, so we're going to buy 1,000 clicks. Like, what could go wrong, you know? But it's sort of a short-sighted way of looking at the return that they're getting from customers. So one way for print to combat that is to provide information that shows that the results that are coming in are results that are competitive with or superior to what advertisers are seeing from online response. And it just takes some work, but it can be done.
So, Chris, to your point, if you have a follow-up question, please ping us back. The key piece to take from this, 10 to 1, the ratio between print versus digital. So this piece about print dying, print's not working, print, it's just simply not true. And Jed, I know, is going to be sharing this year some of the new stats. But when Jed has talked about literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of inbound calls and talks about placing tens and tens of thousands of ads over the years and working with tens and tens of thousands of media sources, magazines, newspapers, he's speaking from a voice and a vantage point that, frankly, I've never seen in the world. It doesn't exist, what he shares and the kind of data he has and the kind of keyboard he sits behind. So when he says 10 to 1, stop in your tracks and realize that if that's not being conveyed in your presentation, then you're failing to present the most salient points about what we do in terms of ad sales. So lots and lots of meat there. Let's continue. We have another inbound question from Marianne, who says, how should we get motivated before making a call? Well, the pre-meeting prep should be interesting for you. For example, I was speaking this morning with a gentleman in Chicago, and we opened up the conversation. I said, look, we can talk about, you know, selling ads, and we'll go down that path, but, man, I just have to tell you, your work with Habitat is incredible. I've been involved for 30 years with Habitat. Millard Fuller, the founder, is a dear friend of my mother. She's actually flown on his private plane. And we spent 15 minutes talking about Habitat for Humanity, Jed. Then we got to the ad sales, and now they're joining our Tuesday Academy. You know, so the point is, that came from the LinkedIn homework. So it's make it fun. Marianne, the prep that we do means calls become more fun. We enjoy them more. The connections are deeper than ever, and they're all at our fingertips. So what we put into the prep is what we get back out. The other question was how to keep the conversation going when a client is resistant. There's a ratio of what we speak and how we engage with tough ad sales prospects. So when I've done role plays with ad sales professionals, my first comment is, you just spoke for like 4 minutes and you didn't let me speak. When are you going to engage me? Hey, how about starting off and congratulating me on an award I recently received for my business? How about getting me talking first? And that goes out throughout the course of even your presentation. As you're working through your distribution or circulation story, you pause and you say, hey, Rita, questions or comments? Does this help you understand our readers or our demographics? Impressive, isn't it, to see what we've done with our circulation or distribution? Tell me, when you've looked at the space, have you seen other media sources that have done the same? Pause, pause, pause. Every single time, Rita's engaging. My goal as a sales pro to know I'm going to get the ad sales means that Rita's going to speak 80% of the time. So this part about Rita being one is an advertiser resistant is a function of if you're doing all the speaking, they're already resistant. It reminds me, Jed, of the calls that come in. you know, from the various companies that call me at night that telesell me, and all they do is go dot dot dot. I don't even get beyond 10 seconds. I already hung up. I didn't even say anything because they didn't even say hello to me.
Right.
Okay. So think about how we respond.
It's really true. I mean, people love to talk about their business. I mean, you can tell, you know, Ernest and I are no exception, right? We spent the first 10 minutes of this call talking about our businesses, right? It's you know, I think it's a common denominator among people to be excited and want to have conversation and explain how their business works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Marianne, we're hoping that answers your question. If not, please let us know. Remember, your prep must disrupt the status quo, and you'll hear more about that today. Angie, I don't know how many calls you've been on over the last decade, but you're a familiar. You're always rocking with our educational program, so thank you. I want to reach out to you. You asked, how do I gather intel on an entirely new sales territory, which I'm being assigned, so I can prepare for the meetings? My piece is, I'm going to assume this is B2B. I like to reach out to my professional associations that are in that territory, in that geographical area. I like to let my associations help to guide me, what the trends are, what the news is. I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. I like to use LinkedIn when I'm in a new territory to see who the players are. I really, really like, and this is something, Angie, we do a lot on our Tuesday Sales Academy. We talk about lead sharing groups. I would find leaders, what we call centers of influence. I'd build my own lead sharing group in that geographical territory, and if you put the right people at the table, including using LinkedIn to select the right people on that table, then you will have a massive head start, and you'll have people at your fingertips that have 5 and 10 and 20 years or more of insight into the sector. Let's see, another one. Mark, who says, does cold calling still work? Mark, Mark, gosh, positively, I love shoe leather. I love being prepared to go into my territory. I love shoe leather for this reason specifically. It's a lost art. It's not done as much, which means what? You get to stand out. Work smart, work geographical, be prepared for your meetings and presentations. Does Google AdWords really work? Are they a fox guarding the henhouse? Yes, very interesting watching the Google model. Their own research says 86% of the people who click on keywords are 86% of the people will not click on keywords, so only a very, very small portion. Quick comment on this. They are giving less and less information on Google Analytics every month to our SEO clients, meaning it's tougher and tougher to get keyword research, so it's getting tougher and tougher for businesses to know what's working and what's not on the web. So Google is a moving target. We track all that they do on a regular basis. If any of you ever want to talk about Google more granularly or SEO and what it means to your site and many of the fast-moving changes, one of the biggest ones we've seen this year, Jed, when you do a search and say, I want to buy flowers in Calgary, you normally get the 3 paid, 10 organic, and 7 pushpins, letters A through G, that have been called a variety of things, but the bottom line is those pushpins are showing up as little as 75% less frequent. So it's very interesting to see what Google is going to do with that space, if they're going to give up those pushpins tied to the map, or we'll see something different this year. So, Mark, great questions, and glad you're here, and always appreciate your participation in our Tuesday Academy. One more quick question, Jed. I'll let you roll in this, and then we'll move to point number two here. Tom asks, hey, wouldn't it be nice if the registration form for these programs would auto-fill? So maybe behind the scenes you could pop him a note, and maybe there's something we can do to, you know, get those to auto-fill, okay?
Yep, sure.
So, Tom, thank
you
so much.
Just going back for a second about the question about, you know, Google working. This is sort of an important one, and it's really true whether you're talking about, you know, you could be talking about Google or Groupon or, you know, or radio or TV. It really sort of, you have to define works, if you talk to most business owners, the way that they would define works would be that they make more than they spend. The way that Google works, however, it's not really built for that. It's built for, you know, it's built for a lot of impressions and a lot of visibility. So for a lot of industries, the answer is it works really poorly. For other industries, it works great that are built around sort of that kind of high volume marketing. You know, the trick is sort of if an advertiser is talking to you about Google, is making sure that they're talking about sort of the entire purchase chain, right? Not just how they got someone to visit their website, because visiting a website doesn't mean anything, right? It's how many people buy from the website, how many people who buy from the website buy again from the website. You know, this is all information which most advertisers should have, because if they're using Google and they're using Google Analytics, they can see it. And this is a type of information which helps you as a salesperson who's not selling Google to compete with them, because the numbers are usually pretty poor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyway.
And there's all kinds of other pieces, and Jed, that might be a topical area that we might even pick up and go even a little deeper going into this year. So, by the way, a number of you pinged a note saying, Ernest, say more about LinkedIn and best practices on our LinkedIn profile. And so two pieces, we may come back this year and revisit it as a topic here. We do cover it several times a year in our Tuesday Academy for those of you that are part of it or would like to be part of it. But as my offer, my gift today, for those of you that would like me to look at, but I'm going to keep it tight, Jed, between now and midnight, if you send an email and ask me to look at your LinkedIn profile, send me your URL, I will give you a grade A through F, and I'll take it through sort of a 10-point analysis, and I'll give you the bullet point and grade it and a comment on that, but just through midnight. I'm going to keep it tight, okay, because we have listeners that will listen to this well after the webcast is completed. And then just send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, okay? So let's continue. Let's go to point number two. Six ways to get the attention of a tough ad prospect. Which ones work best? Okay, so here we go. Number one, we're going to follow their news, okay, of tough prospects, their news, their PR, their media, right? If you want to get their attention, speak to them about what's cooking. If you wanted to say, you know, Jed, congratulations on the acquisition. Wow. Or Jed, congratulations on your expansion. I see you've opened up a satellite office in Alaska. Or you've opened up an office in the Galapagos. I don't know. Where are you, Jed? The point is that you speak to people about what's interesting to them, right? We know what that is. WIFM, right? What's in it for me? Track that by looking at their LinkedIn profiles to see their awards, their recognition. Go to their site. Go to their Facebook, go to their Twitter, utilize Google Alerts. We talked about this last year, and work with your lead sharing groups. What are we really saying here? Stay on the pulse. So therefore, your tough ad prospects are not getting a call going, hi, do you want to buy an ad? Hey, our deadline's on Tuesday. Do you want to come in? Gee, you know, I tried to call you the other day, or I sent you an email, you know, can I come give you a presentation? That is going to fall flat forever. So utilize and work smartly. Step number two is the same strategy, but it's about their competitors. Hey, Jed, I've given you a call today. Gee, did you hear what's happening with the Curtis Richardson Company? And you're listening going, wow, I just heard some news. Got a minute? Jed's going, Curtis Richardson Company? There are my arch rivals. I despise them. Ernest, what's up? As Jed calls me back. Okay? So we all know, right? Competitors, leverage, but you got to pay attention to your sector. If you're in the automotive sector, what's happening with automotive dealers, law firms, chiropractors, real estate? What are your sectors? Who are you paying attention to? For those of you who have general interest business journals, magazines, newspapers, take your top 5 or 10 categories where you drive the most revenue and know everything that moves in that space. If you don't, you're not on top of that. And we'll talk about the Switzerland approach in a few minutes. It all ties in. This is more than an ad. So step number one, speak to them about what's interesting to them and what's newsworthy. Step number two, follow their competitors. Step number three, share industry trends or news, or even, for example, people moving. So if I said, hey, Jed, remember that Curtis Richardson, your arch rival? Hey, their VP of sales left. You got a minute? I just heard. Okay? Jed goes, huh, VP of sales? You know, she was quite the salesperson. Wonder where she went. I've got Jed's interest. Jed may not be buying an ad for me today, But he's listening, and he knows that I'm paying attention. Maybe there's something happening in the sector. Maybe there's a convergence. Maybe there's new litigation. Maybe something's changing in liability, insurances, and so forth. And I'm going to give an example a little bit later. But the point is, maybe you're spotting trends faster than the sector, and you're talking about those things. That's a key piece and another opportunity to open the door. Because let's remember, if we don't disrupt status quo, we're not going to get the attention of the tough ads prospect, which is our next point, okay? Point number four says, look, if we don't stop in the tracks, the ad agency or the media buyer, and give them a compelling reason to commerce with us, they're just going to say, can't talk to you, you're not in the budget, we're happy where we're at, we're doing it ourselves, we're all over social media, la, 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 la. We've all heard, you know, the 10,000 reasons why. So if we don't stop them in their tracks, there's no way we have a chance to move forward, okay? Number five, we share winning ad results. We call those case studies. Once upon a time, I was working with an automotive dealer who was primarily selling used cars, not new. As a result of our working together, they're now selling lots of used and lots of new, and it's because we provided these ad solutions. Case studies give you an opportunity, by the way, to cloak the name of the auto dealer, but in great detail describe what you've done, okay? So case studies are another way to get the attention of a tough ad prospect. And then lastly, tie in your association work. So using that automotive example, you know, if I'm trying to crack a tough buyer, and I know next week is the Automotive Dealer Association meeting in Vancouver or Des Moines or London or Paris, wherever I am, I'm going to call my toughest prospects and let them know I'm going to the lunch. A, I can sit with them and invite them to have lunch with me, or B, if they're not going to go, at least they know that I'm paying attention to the sector, and there might even be a presenter that they might like me to make notes on. I might say, yeah, and Ruth Jones is speaking, and she's going to be talking about website SEO. I'd love to have lunch with you. If you're not going to be there, let's chat for a couple of minutes. I'll make some extra notes, and I'll share those with you after the lunch or the dinner. Extend yourself. Be a thought leader. Be a giver is what we're talking about here related to these tough ad prospects. Remember as well, when you work associations, also think about joining their committees. I can remember speaking to the association executive directors in sectors that I was in, and I would just say simply, hey, can you tell me about your committees? Can you give me a roster who's on the committees? What was I doing? I was looking to see where my largest clients and really where my toughest or largest prospects were. Those were the committees I joined, okay? So these are six specific strategies. Jed, we have a number of questions related to these, but any comments about these strategies before we field some of the questions?
I think just sort of piggybacking off of my theme is, and you mentioned it, but, you know, any data you can provide, you know, in the form of case studies or even in the form of just, you know, this was a really successful ad that we ran, you know, last year, you know, or we ran a month ago, you know, for a company that may not be a direct competitor, but sort of using the information that you gather about the results of ads and sharing that with people, you know, I often find that's really valuable to them.
Yep, absolutely. And we're going to, Jed, you're amazing. Amazing Kreskin. I'm holding an envelope. What is the number I'm thinking of? Jed, in the third part, we're going to talk about Switzerland. You're insane. We're going to talk
broken
about
Broken clock is right twice a day, right?
Yeah, you are amazing today. You are calling out a hole-in-one, and your eyes are closed. I love it. We are going to talk about that, but I'm going to tee up a softball for you, okay? Diane writes to us and says, how do you approach someone that believes they didn't get value in a previous ad when it is obvious they did? And the response, Diane, relates to what did you track and measure that made it obvious? So, Jed, how about a word or three about the value of tracking?
Right. I mean, the key word, as Ernest pointed out, is obvious. I mean, I don't think that it's possible to underestimate the ability of most advertisers to track on them on their own. It's just a disaster, right? They can't do it. They don't do it. And if they do it, they don't do it effectively. I've yet to find an advertiser that, you know, that does a really good job of understanding what media channels are driving what response, especially when you're talking about sort of offline media that requires some work to track. So the way that you combat that is by being in ownership of the data, right? Being the one who controls the conversation because you control the data. And the easiest way to control the data is to give them the tools to collect the data. And we do it in the form of 800 numbers. You know, we give them to all our advertisers. We use thousands of them. It costs us a lot of money, right, because we're using so many and we're using so many minutes. But you know what? It's well worth it because I don't think we would have many customers if we weren't doing it. Because the impression that everyone has is that print doesn't work, right? That's sort of the, you know, that's what they've been reading about for the past 10 years. And so by putting phone numbers in the ad, we're able to see exactly how many people called, where they called from, how long they spent on the phone. We're able to, with that information, to make some really good guesses about what happened with that customer. And if it requires further follow-up, we can get more information about what happened with that customer from the advertiser. So the advertiser can then look at it and say, okay, you know, Joe Smith, this is what happened with him. And he bought, and you know what? He came back and bought again 2 months later. And, you know, and Shirley Jones, she called once and never called back again. But you can determine all this stuff, and it's pretty easy to figure out just with the simple thing of putting a unique phone number in the ad that you want information on. For those of you who don't know, just really super quickly, the way 800 numbers work is that they are transparent pass-throughs. They don't exist in any sort of real world. 800 numbers are just a number that people dial that tells the phone company, charge this other guy and not the person receiving the phone call. So your customer, the phone can ring wherever they would normally have it ring. When it rings, they can't tell that it's been transferred. No one knows that it's been transferred other than you. But you can see, in many cases online, exactly what's happening, how many phone calls they got, at any given moment. And that's just a really valuable thing, and it changes the conversation. When you go back to an advertiser and you say, look, you know, how'd the ad do? And they say, boy, not that well. And you say to them, you know what? You got 37 phone calls, and, you know, if your close rate, you know, that we talked about prior to the ad running is about right, and you get, you know, one sale for every five people who call, you know, you did pretty well. You know, you got seven sales. That's great. You know, and you made money. Or if it didn't work and they didn't get very many phone calls, it's a much different conversation to go back to them and say, hey, Joe, we need to do something. We need to figure something out. Maybe we need to run in a different section. Maybe we need to try a different creative. Maybe we need a different offer in the ad. You know, there's things that you can change that will drive results, but you don't know to change them unless you see what the results are. So that's a long-winded answer to a short question. So sorry.
As they said in Smokey and the Bandit, we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. Diane, don't get Jed wound up, but I think what you can hear is show me the money, show me the results, and I'll show you the ad renewal. And Jed, to the same point, we, as you know, track behind the scenes, and we can see the before and after of websites, website SEOs. We can see trends of this December versus last December versus 2 years ago, seasonal trends, first quarter versus first quarter of last year. It is amazing. You must have it. Let's just agree for 1 second. When you go to put ads on Google, they require tracking numbers. Why are they doing so well in ad sales? Because they say, show me the money. You place an ad. We measure the clicks. We measure the phone calls. They're doing it exactly the same way. They're eating our lunch, ladies and gentlemen. If we're not back eating their lunch, the quote, obvious, and that was the key word, obviously we did well. Unless you know specifically you did well, then you're going to be lucky to renew one of every two ads, and maybe only one of every three. We can't afford that, and we've done entire calls related to past advertisers. So, Diane, we're hoping that's helpful. Follow-up questions, just send them to Ernest@PowerHour.com or just hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you here. Two more quick laser questions. Benita asks us a question. How do you get a prospect to respond to my email? So a couple, three quick points. Number one, combine an email with a phone call. You know, so you can say, I would say, hi, Benita, this is Ernest, and I'm with Power Hour, and I sent you a note, and here comes the email. So combine the two so a person can hear your voice. Number two, you must embed your USP, right? That's the 30-second elevator piece. What are the four or five or six most important bullets you're going to put in there? Because you have to do what? Disrupt the flow of status quo. If you don't do that, you will not get a response. And you must include with them what's in it for me embedded in there as well. And we have just tons of experience, Benita, related to that. So hopefully that is helpful. Terry writes, how do I get advertising in a niche paper or niche paper, as they say around the world? We focus on just bass fishing. Terry, you're doing the right thing. You got the target audience. You have a target message. And so the advertising for you has to relate to the kinds of things that bass fisher women or men buy, the related services and products and boats and all the other things. But you have to really define what it is you do well, who your readers are, what you know about those, and then your media kit. We have 17 key points that must be included in your media kit so that your story is powerful and compelling. So, Terry, thanks so much for that note. All right, let's go to point number three that we promised to cover. Eight strategies to convey your industry insight and thought leadership. What is your Switzerland approach? Okay, so let's start with the Switzerland for just a moment, right? We know the Swiss and privacy, and you can bank there and all the confidentiality and so forth. You are also like Switzerland. For example, if you're selling ads into the RV space in your geographical area, you may have never made or produced an RV. You may have never sold an RV. You may have never owned your own RV dealership. So what? In dog years, you're going to spend more time on more RV dealerships in the next 30 days than most people spend in their entire lifetime. Go look at the LinkedIn profile of those who sell RVs, for example, or work at RV dealerships or own RVs. You know, they may have only worked for three dealers. That means three companies. You're going to say, Ernest, I talked to three companies between lunch, now and lunch. You hear the best of the best. You hear what works. You hear what don't work. You are Switzerland. Now, look, there comes a little implicit trust there, okay? If you call up Terry and Terry says, hey, sales are way off, things aren't going well, you know, and you pick up the next call to Sam, and Sam says, hey, how's Terry doing? And you say, well, I just heard from Terry's not doing well. If you go in and pollute your sector and you don't have trust, then you'll never get any information. Therefore, nobody will give you the information because they don't trust you. You might say, hey, some of our advertisers are doing better than others. Gee, it seems a little seasonality. Gee, those that are doing better advertising and marketing are doing better, and that's what I want to help you with. You know in the back of your mind that Terry's not doing well, but we do not share those things. That's the Switzerland thinking. And then the piece is, how do you weave that into your thought leadership? I learned 30 years ago in this space and sector that the more I tried to sell ads to the front door, the less successful I was. The more I came through the back door with education, thought leadership, and the Switzerland approach, the more I got brought in like family, famille. They brought me in and trusted me and wanted me literally to even help them develop their advertising budget. Imagine sitting there with the keystroke deciding where the ads are going to go in your competitors. That's what, how good I was coming through the back door, and I taught my team how to do it, and we teach our academy members on Tuesdays how to do this. Okay, so here are the eight strategies. Number one, white papers. White papers of information. Quick story. This is the Teresa story. Teresa says, hey, Ernest, she called me EO. Hey, EO, I got an idea. Teresa would come into my office with idea after idea. Ernest, I got an idea. I'm going to build this spreadsheet. I'm going to tee up this information. I'm going to tee up this kind of data, and I think the market will love it because I'm going to tee it all up, pull it all together, get an aggregate of the sector, strip all the company names out, and I'm going to have the best data. And everyone who contributes to the data gets a copy of the data. We just strip out the company names. Guess what? She was right. The advertisers loved it. The market was eating out of her hand, and I was blown away. So just so all of you know, I didn't know the Switzerland model, but I watched smart people like Teresa, who, by the way, is a dear friend still to this day. I watched her still to this day. That's the way we learned to come through the back door. It was by accident, right? But you learn these things. It's the way penicillin was created. Look at all the great inventions in the world that created penicillin and butter and milk and all of these things that have come about in the world. It happens the same way in ad sales. That's the Teresa story, white papers. Number two, webcasts, like we're doing here. Webcasts, teleseminars, educational programs. Invite your advertisers and your toughest prospects and educate them about advertising, social media, LinkedIn, search engine optimization, email newsletters. These are the kinds of things that are valuable to them. Give them value. They'll bring you through the back door as family and famille. Number three, put on private events, a lunch, a dinner, an in-person kind of deal. Same concept. By the way, the speaker in this example or the prior example can be you, can be a team member, or can be an outside speaker, trainer, coach, consultant. I get invited all the time to come in to benefit and help my advertisers and be able to deliver powerful messages to their advertisers or their prospective advertisers. So point number three. Point number four, speak. Typically speak in person. Speak in person, especially at your association events. Let's go back to that auto dealer event. When you're at the front of the room, you're a thought leader. You're no longer the ad salesperson. You're talking to those dealers about advertising success and the things that you're seeing in the marketplace, albeit, again, cloaked. You're not talking about, well, I saw Sam do this or I saw Terry do that. No, you just embed that. You're Switzerland. Number five, you can write about your successful strategies. You can put it in the Automobiles Dealers Magazine, if it's still in print, in their newsletter, in their LinkedIn groups, on their Twitter, on their Facebook. So you can create an article about advertising success, and you can take it across each of these platforms. Roll the clock back before all the platforms were available. If the auto dealership had a single magazine for their 300 members and you wanted space in there, man, let me tell you, that was tough to get. And if it was a good old boys or good old girls network like it used to be, they had four or five syndicated columnists, you could spend a decade and never get space. Those days are over. It's easy to get access to written space because associations are begging for content. We write for 240 associations, 5 million readers, and if we're one day late beyond the first of every month, they call us or email us. They are jonesing for that kind of content. Strategy number five. Strategy number six, from a thought leadership perspective, this is a little more involved. Go back to media bids and go back and revisit and listen to teardowns, okay? But big picture, it means you know the rate card of all of the advertising sources in your competitive sect. Go back and listen to it because we also talk about you're going to evaluate and see the annual budget of advertisers, and you're going to make recommendations that basically says you're spending $10,000 for 10 sources, spend $10,000 for 11 sources, add me in, and still spend the same amount. That comes from a thought leadership perspective. It disrupts the status quo, and who says no to one more source that they can compare side by side with everybody else, and it's the same budget. But you've got to be good, and you've got to know what they're spending in those other sources. Strategy number six. The last two, share your phone. Jed, here comes the Jed piece. Jed, what did you say earlier? Share the phone results. Share the click results on the electronic side. But you can't say, here are Sam's results or here are Terry's results. You say, here are the category of RV dealers, new dealers, and the kind of phone calls and clicks. Here are those selling used RVs. Here are the stats for those selling trailer hitches. Here are the stats for those selling engines or engine repairs or brakes. So every category, it shows by category, or as Jed likes to also talk about, ad size, full pages versus half pages versus big boxes versus leaderboards on the web. What are they generating and driving? So, Jed, you see, number seven, I was thinking about you, aren't I?
Yep. You bet. I could say the same thing again.
I knew you'd love that. I saved that for number seven. I'm going, Jed, you're killing me. The last point, and we'll pause. Lead the charge. Now, this is an interesting one. This one is lead the charge on a big industry topic. So when I was in the space where I was selling ads into the real estate and apartment sector, there was really a big issue about crime and safety. And working together with attorneys, the court system, the police departments, and industry experts, we put a summit on related to crime and crime prevention, and we had the sector eating out of our hand, and we were selling ads out the back door and at the back of the meeting, but they'll never forget the work we did at the beginning to help them. Help your advertisers with big issues and lead the charge on that, okay? Jed, any comments on those 8 points? There are a number of questions off to the side here that I'd like to weave in. But before I do that, any comments on these 8 as we roll through here?
No, I think they're all great points. And I think that, that all of them or any one of them can be used, you know, effectively to really make a difference. I think the main thing, you know, and it sort of gets the underlying theme in a lot of your main points is, you know, you have to be interested in what your clients are doing. You know, you have to be sort of invested in their industry or business or community or whatever sort of the common thread is. By being interested in that and being a part of that, there's lots of ways to make yourself an important part of that community.
Absolutely. Let me weave in a quick question. Angie pinged back and said, "Hey, thanks for the shout out earlier. You're welcome, Angie." You said you tried the site, but couldn't get it to work. Quick, I'm just going to give you a little piece. When Jed was speaking, I just went into Google. I put site, and your domain, and there are 2,320 indexed pages by Google. So do that off to the side after we finish up, but you should be able to find 2,320. If not, ping me another note, and I'll help you afterward, okay? All right, let me weave in some questions here. We have a question from Monica in Montreal, one of my favorite places. Jed, I've lived there for 10 weeks on two different occasions over the last 12 months. I love Montreal. In fact, I'll be back this summer. Monica, you write and you say, how do I get repeat ads? Monica, it's about merchandising your rate card, and we've done an entire program or two about merchandising the rate card. Come into the MediaBid site and go listen to those. There's a lot of strategy, and for all of you, you need to deploy the strategy for those who are already doing it, and if you're not, you need to understand what it means to merchandise your rate card to get repeat and ongoing and longer-term ads and larger ads. Number two, to Jed's point, you must track the results by phone, by click, by forms. You must have that to develop that. Otherwise, you're going to sell two ads, lose one, sell three ads, lose one, sell three ads, lose two, and you're never going to feel. When we talk about growing ad sales, we talk about net gain. I don't care, Jed, if you sell 50 ads. If we lose 50, the net gain is the big O in Cheerio, zero. We had no net gain. I want you to sell 50 and keep 50, therefore the net gain is 50. Okay, Monica? So I'm hoping that's helpful. And if you have a question about that, let me know. And as I said, I'll be in Montreal this summer. We might even get a chance to say hello. Milton, you write. Milton, I love yours. What is the best way to maximize revenue for a website with about 50,000 monthly visitors? Milton, ping me an email note and let's go find a window in the next day or two. You've got a really, really nice audience, and if you're not finding the revenue on that, we need to talk about that. You also wrote, how do I get companies that place paid advertorials on websites? Lots to share with you. Who's your target audience? What do they buy? Your readership. There's a lot of pieces there. So 50,000 is really, really nice. You should be rocking big time. Ping me a note, and we'll chat about that off to the side. Gerald asked, how do I catch the big fish? Gerald, I love that. I love fishing, and the big fish is a good concept. Number one, you're here today. Thank you for being here, and that tells us you're serious. Number two, put the big fish up on your walls. My conference rooms and I've written articles. In fact, send me a note. And anyone who would like the article, how do your walls sell? I've written articles about it. We work on our academy, and in every single conference room that I've ever worked in, and my clients know it, and that we've talked to, they've sent me pictures, and I've sent them pictures. Every single wall is filled with charts, with erasable ink. And here are my key advertisers on one wall. Here are my key renewals on another. Here are the top 10 that I'm focused on, or the top 10 for my competitors. Quick story about that. I have a client in Texas. We were talking. I just said, gosh, you've been in the sector a long time. I know you have a number of competitors. Here's the research I want you to do. I said, take a look at your top three competitors, and I want you to make a list of how many ads they have in their publications and on their site that you don't have, and how many they have that you don't have. Look at it both ways. Okay? She said, my gosh, there's like 140. And then she drilled it down a little tighter, and she said, there's 100. I said, good. Those 100, put them up on your walls. See them visually. Those 100, in the first week of this year, she's already clicked 4 of those. So she's got 96 to go. I said, good. Stay with it. 96 to go. We're going to go get an ad with every one of those 100. So that's another piece about Big Fish. And, Gerald, to your question as well, your presentation has got to be really, really strong. You have to explain your story. It's got to be compelling. It's got to disrupt the status quo. It's got to be head and shoulders above your competitors. And it really has to express your USP, your unique selling proposition or proposal. Last question, Max. And, Max, you're also a long term. You've been to nearly all of our programs for like 10 years. We've been rolling along. So, Max, I'd be disappointed if you weren't joining us going into our 10th year. And you ask, how do I deal with such and such an agency about how to reapproach the agency on this client? It's a funny deal. We just talked about this, Max, in our academy Tuesday. So just 2 days ago, we talked about getting installed into the playbook. Playbook is different than a budget. Playbook is a very important strategy with ad agencies, but ad agencies, there's no margin related to your presentation. It must be solid, and they positively want to know about your CERC, your readership, your editorial, and your value ads. You've got to focus on those pieces, but most importantly, you've got to get into the playbook, and if not, you're going to struggle with ad agencies. The good news is, Max, when you get into the playbook and they bring you in for the first advertiser, then they can open you up into other of their advertising clients, okay? So we're right at the top of the hour. Jed, we have covered a truckload. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, as Smokey and the Bandit once said in that song. But seriously, it's been a beautiful, incredible 10 years going into this year. I just couldn't be more excited about the work we've been doing. And today was just an overflow of great questions and great participation. And, again, thank you to you and the team at MediaBits, to all of you. Please go to MediaBits.com, understand the work that they do, work with Jed and their team. They know how to drive revenue, and Jed and his team care about your success, hence the reason that we're here. Jed, a few closing words?
Thanks again, Ernest. As always, I learned a lot, and really appreciate all the preparation and knowledge that you bring to these calls.
Beautiful. Thank you. so much, Jed. To each of you, come into our Power Hour site if you'd like to join our Tuesday Academy. We work real hard together. We're here for you to help you win, and we never work with your direct competitors. Never work with competing companies or firms that are in the same space. So pop us a note. Come learn more about our Academy on Tuesday. You get a sales educational piece every Monday. And every Tuesday we come and talk about it. Jed, always a pleasure, and we'll see you next month. And I know that you're a brew with a topic, so I will look forward to your leadership next month, okay?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
All
Thanks
righty,
again, Ernest, and we appreciate it.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.